Baha'u'llah was the teacher and the founder of the Baha'i Faith. He and his teachings are believed to be prophesied in Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and other religions. Baha'u'llah was born in 1817 in Tehran, Persia, in present-day Iran. The word Baha' means glory or splendor. The Baha'i Faith rests on three core principles: unity of God, unity of religion, and unity of humankind. Approximately 7 million people today in many countries adhere to the Baha'i Faith. Their scriptures are translated into 800 languages, and there are houses of worship in just about every corner of the world. Baha'i principles envision an ideal society. They are gender equality, elimination of all forms of prejudice, whether religious, racial, class, or national, harmony of religion and science, universal opportunity of education for all, a universal auxiliary language, which all humanity can use to cooperate quickly with one another, a judicious world government, and the elimination of extremes of wealth and poverty. Many people, like the Baha'i followers, see a noble society as a real goal to be pursued in everyday life. Today, we present the sage wisdom of Baha'u'llah with excerpts from the holy book, Gems of Divine Mysteries.
Gems of Divine Mysteries. The essence of the divine mysteries and the journeys of ascent set forth for those who long to draw nigh unto God, the Almighty, the ever-forgiving. Blessed be the righteous that quaff from these crystal streams.
He is the Exalted, the Most High. O my brother, if thou be a champion of this arena, speed within the lands of certitude, that thy soul may be delivered in this day from the bondage of misbelief, and that thou mayest perceive the sweet savours that waft from this garden. Verily, the perfume-laden breezes that carry the fragrance of this city blow over all regions. Forfeit not thy portion thereof, and be not of the heedless. How well hath it been said,
his fragrant breaths diffused in eastern lands could well to sick ones in the west restore their sense of smell. After this heavenly journey and mystical ascent, the wayfarer will enter within the garden of wonderment. Were I to disclose unto thee the reality of this station, thou wouldst lament and bewail the plight of this servant, who remaineth in the hands of these infidels, who hath grown perplexed at his plight, and is lost in bewilderment in this fathomless ocean. They conspire each day to put me to death, and seek at every hour to banish me from this land, even as they banished me from another land.
Yet this servant standeth ready before them, awaiting whatsoever the Almighty hath ordained and decreed for us. Nor do I fear any soul, encompassed as we may be by such trials and tribulations as are inflicted by the wicked and the malicious, and surrounded at this hour by a myriad woes and sorrows. Noah's flood is but the measure of the tears I have shed, and Abraham's fire an ebullition of my soul. Jacob's grief is but a reflection of my sorrows, and Job's afflictions a fraction of my calamity.
Were I to recount unto thine eminence the dire adversities that have befallen me, thou wouldst be so grieved as to forsake the mention of all things, and to forget thyself and all that the Lord hath created on earth. But as this is not our wish, I have concealed the revelation of the divine decree in the heart of Baha, and veiled it from the eyes of all that move in the realm of creation, that it may lay hid within the tabernacle of the unseen, until such time as God will have revealed its secret. Nought in the heavens or on the earth can escape his knowledge, and he verily perceiveth all things.
As we have digressed from our theme, let us leave aside these illusions and return to our discussion of this city. Verily, whoso entereth therein shall be saved, and whoso turneth aside therefrom will assuredly perish.
O thou who art mentioned in these tablets, know thou that he who embarketh upon this journey will marvel at the signs of the power of God and the wondrous evidences of his handiwork. Bewilderment will seize him from every side, even as hath been attested by that essence of immortality from the concourse on high. Increase my wonder and amazement at thee, O God. Well hath it been said,
I knew not what amazement was until I made thy love my cause. Oh, how amazing would it be if I were not amazed by thee!
In this valley the wayfarers stray and perish ere they attain their final abode. Gracious God, so immense is this valley, so vast this city in the kingdom of creation, that it seemeth to have neither beginning nor end. How great the blessedness of him who completeth his journey therein, and who traverseth through the assistance of God the hallowed soil of this heavenly city, a city in which the favored ones of God and the pure in heart are overcome with wonder and awe, and we say, Praise be to God, the Lord of the worlds.
And should the servant ascend to even loftier heights, quit this mortal world of dust, and seek to ascend unto the celestial abode, he will then pass from this city into the city of absolute nothingness, that is, of dying to self and living in God. In this station, this most exalted habitation, this journey of utter self-effacement, the wayfarer forgetteth his soul, spirit, body, and very being, immerseth himself in the sea of nothingness, and liveth on earth as one unworthy of mention. Nor will one find any sign of his existence, for he hath vanished from the realm of the visible, and attained into the heights of self-abnegation.
Were we to recount the mysteries of this city, the dominions of the heart of men would be laid to waste in the intensity of their longing for this mighty station. For this is the station wherein the effulgent glories of the beloved are revealed to the sincere lover, and the resplendent lights of the friend are cast upon the severed heart that is devoted to him.
How can a true lover continue to exist when once the effulgent glories of the beloved are revealed? How can the shadow endure when once the sun has shone forth? How can a devoted heart have any being before the existence of the object of its devotion? Nay, by the one in whose hand is my soul. In this station, the seeker's complete surrender and utter effacement before his Creator will be such that were he to search the east and the west, and traverse land, sea, mountain, and plain, he would find no trace of his own self, or of any other soul.
Gracious God, but for fear of the Nimrod of tyranny, and for the protection of the Abraham of justice, I would reveal unto thee that which, wouldst thou to abandon self and desire, would enable thee to dispense with aught else, and to draw nigh unto this city. Be patient, however, unto such time as God will have proclaimed his cause. He verily rewardeth beyond measure them that endure with patience. Inhale then the sweet savours of the Spirit from the garment of hidden meanings, and say, O ye that are immersed in the ocean of selflessness, hasten to enter the city of immortality, if ye seek to ascend its heights. And we exclaim, Verily we are God's, and to him shall we return.
From this most august and exalted station, and from this most sublime and glorious plain, the seeker entereth the city of immortality, therein to abide forever. In this station he beholdeth himself established upon the throne of independence and the seat of exaltation. Then will he comprehend the meaning of that which hath been revealed of old, concerning the day whereon God shall enrich all through his abundance. Well is it with them that have attained unto this station and drunk their fill from this snow-white chalice before this crimson pillar.
Having in this journey immersed himself in the ocean of immortality, rid his heart from attachment to aught save him, and attained unto the loftiest height of everlasting life, the seeker will see no annihilation either for himself or for any other soul. He will pour from the cup of immortality, tread in its land, soar in its atmosphere, consort with them that are its embodiments, partake of the imperishable and incorruptible fruits of the tree of eternity, and be forever accounted in the lofty heights of immortality amongst the denizens of the everlasting realm.
All that existeth in the city shall indeed endure and will never perish. Shouldst thou, by the leave of God, enter this sublime and exalted garden, thou wouldst find its sun in its noontide glory, never to set, never to be eclipsed. The same holdeth true of its moon, its firmament, its stars, trees, and oceans, and of all that pertaineth thereunto or existeth therein. By him, besides whom there is none other God. Were I to recount from this day unto the end, that hath no end, its wondrous attributes, the love that my heart cherisheth for this hallowed and everlasting city would never be exhausted. I shall, however, bring my theme to a close, since time is short and the inquirer impatient, and since these secrets are not to be openly divulged save by the leave of God the Almighty, the All-Compelling.
Ere long shall the faithful behold, in the day of the latter resurrection, him whom God shall make manifest descending with his city from the heaven of the unseen, together with a company of his exalted and favoured angels. Great therefore is the blessedness of him that attaineth unto his presence, and beholdeth his countenance. We all verily cherish this hope, and exclaim, Praise be unto him, for verily he is the eternal truth, and unto him do we return.
Know, moreover, that should one who hath attained unto these stations and embarked upon these journeys fall prey to pride and vainglory, he would at that very moment come to naught and return to the first step without realizing it. Indeed, they that seek and yearn after him in these journeys are known by this sign, that they humbly defer to those who have believed in God and in his verses, that they are lowly before those who have drawn nigh unto him and unto the manifestations of his beauty, and that they bow in submission to them that are firmly established upon the lofty heights of the cause of God and before its majesty.
For were they to reach the ultimate object of their quest for God and their attainment unto him, they would have but reached that abode which hath been raised up within their own hearts. How then could they ever hope to ascend unto such realms as have not been ordained for them or created for their station? Nay, though they journey from everlasting to everlasting, they will never attain unto him who is the midmost heart of existence and the axis of the entire creation. He on whose right hand flow the seas of grandeur, on whose left stream the rivers of might, and whose courts none can ever hope to reach, how much less his very abode? For he dwelleth in the ark of fire, speedeth in the sphere of fire, through the ocean of fire, and moveth within the atmosphere of fire. How can he who hath been fashioned of contrary elements ever enter or even approach this fire? Were he to do so, he would be instantly consumed.
Know, moreover, that should the cord of assistance binding this mighty pivot to the dwellers of earth and heaven be severed, they would assuredly perish. Great God, how can the lowly dust ever reach unto him who is the Lord of lords? Immeasurably exalted is God above that which they conceive in their hearts, and immensely glorified is he beyond that which they attribute to him.
Yea, the seeker reacheth the station wherein that which hath been ordained for him knoweth no bounds. The fire of love so blazeth in his heart that it seizeth the reins of constraint from his grasp. At every moment his love for his Lord increaseth and draweth him nearer unto his Creator, in such wise that if his Lord be in the east of nearness, and he dwell in the west of remoteness, and possess all that earth and heaven contain of rubies and gold, he would forsake it all and rush forth to the land of the desired one. And shouldst thou find him to be otherwise, know assuredly that such a man is a lying impostor. We verily all belong unto him whom God shall make manifest in the latter resurrection, and through him shall we be raised again to life.
In these days, inasmuch as we have lifted not the veils that conceal the countenance of the cause of God, nor disclosed unto men the fruits of these stations, which we have been forbidden to describe, thou beholdest them drunk with heedlessness. Otherwise, were the glory of this station to be revealed unto men to an extent smaller than a needle's eye, thou wouldst witness them gathering before the threshold of divine mercy, and hastening from all sides to the court of nearness in the realms of divine glory. We have concealed it, however, as mentioned before, that those who believe may be distinguished from them that deny, and that those who turn unto God may be discerned from them that turn aside. I verily proclaim, there is no power nor strength except in God, the help in peril, the self-subsisting.
From this station the wayfarer ascendeth unto a city that hath no name or description, and whereof one heareth neither sound nor mention. Therein flow the oceans of eternity, whilst this city itself revolveth round the seat of eternity. Therein the sun of the unseen shineth resplendent above the horizon of the unseen, a sun that hath its own heavens and its own moons, which partake of its light, and which rise from and set upon the ocean of the unseen. Nor can I ever hope to impart even a dewdrop of that which hath been decreed therein, as none is acquainted with its mysteries save God, its creator and fashioner, and its manifestations.
Know, moreover, that when we undertook to reveal these words, and committed some of them to writing, it was our intention to elucidate for thine eminence, in the sweet accents of the blessed and the well-favoured of God, all that we had previously mentioned of the words of the prophets and the sayings of the messengers. Time, however, was lacking, and the traveller who came from thy presence was in great haste and eager to return. Thus have we cut short our discourse and contented ourselves with this much, without completing the description of these stages in a seemly and befitting manner. Indeed, we have omitted the description of major cities and mighty journeys. Such was the haste of the courier that we even forsook the mention of the two exalted journeys of resignation and contentment.
Yet, should thine eminence reflect upon these brief statements, thou wouldst assuredly acquire every knowledge, attain unto the object of all learning, and exclaim, "Sufficient are these words unto all creation, both visible and invisible."
Even so, should the fire of love burn within thy soul, thou wouldst ask, "Is there yet any more?" And we say, "Praise be to God, the Lord of the worlds." Dedicated viewers, we appreciate your presence for this episode of Between Master and Disciples here on Supreme Master Television. Planet Earth, our loving home, is up next, right after Noteworthy News. May compassion and wisdom be your gifts from heaven.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.